Tonight, we're going to take you on a coast-to-coast ride of mysteries, all kinds of mysteries, with our special guest, Will Hart, in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Will Hart is a journalist, nature photographer, filmmaker, author. He has a deep and abiding interest in natural and human history. Hart's work has been published in Wild West, Sierra Heritage, Adventure West, Nexus and New Dawn. His articles have appeared in every issue of Atlantis Rising for the past 2 years, and he has just agreed to write a column for New Dawn. He's our guest tonight on Coast to Coast. Will, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Well, I'm great. How are you?
I'm super. It's been a long time, over a year.
Yeah, it has been, George, and I appreciate your invitation to come back on the show.
My pleasure. What have you been doing in the past year or so?
Well, a lot of research. I've finished a book on Atlantis that we're going to discuss a little tonight, as well as the second volume of the Genesis Race series. So I've been real busy.
You know, there's nothing that thrills me more, Will, than Earth mysteries and some of the things that are in the unknown. And you seem to investigate a lot of these different things that have been going on. Is it difficult to find some of the data as you pursue some of these different cultures, different civilizations that had these mysteries?
Well, that's a good question. It's difficult a lot of times. You know, there's plenty of mysteries and artifacts abound. And Earth mysteries also abound, and a lot of it just depends on perception and getting through one's conditioning to deeper levels of reality. And so it's not so much, a lot of times what I find that I've had to do is to kind of work through misinformation. I'll give you an example.
Right.
When in 1978, I spent over a year in Mexico and Central America just going from site to site, archaeological site to pyramids to museums and so on. And when I was in the Yucatan at a museum in the Maya realm, I noticed there was a little object with, it was a cart that had wheels that was pulled by a dog. The problem with it was, in my mind, that the Maya were not supposed to have any knowledge of the wheel.
Uh-huh.
The wheel didn't exist in the Americas. It was labeled a child's toy, and actually it took me a couple of decades to realize that it had been misidentified, mislabeled by archaeologists, that this was a funerary object that is exactly the same as objects found in Sumeria. In burials.
Well, that makes the mystery, I think, even bigger.
No, very much deeper, because it then you get a sense that there was a connectedness between cultures for reasons that are still very I consider very mysterious. Because the Maya, another thing that I discovered when I was down there that I didn't know reading the literature, was that the Maya built roads through connecting their pyramid sites. And we're not talking about very simple, unsophisticated roads. These roads were through the jungle. The jungle was raised. It was leveled. They paved the roads with limestone cement. They were some areas 30 feet wide,
oh,
which made no sense at all.
Almost like they had earth-moving equipment.
Yeah, and very strict engineering. Some of them, in fact, an engineering friend of mine, who a forensic engineer, almost obsessed with studying the Maya, has studied these roads, and he said they're just as straight as can be. I mean, our engineers wouldn't bother.
How do you explain that? And, of course, we'll talk about the pyramids in Egypt later on, but how do you explain the accuracy from what's supposed to be a primitive group of people?
Well, that's just it. You can't. Because the concepts collide, and that's what I was referring to earlier about our own conditioning. You know, what our scholars and historians have given us to believe about these cultures, labeling the Maya Stone Age.
Well, let me ask you this, Will. If mankind today, if all our great road builders and engineers and you know, great people who know how to do infrastructure,
right,
put their heads together to do what the Mayans did, but they didn't have the equipment, okay? Let's assume they can't use their earth-moving equipment and their cranes and their cement trucks.
And they don't have surveying.
None of that. They just had, you know, rocks and string and whatever else they could come up with. Could they do the same kind of job?
I don't think so.
Then that means there's something weird going on here.
Yeah, there is. There's a discontinuity here in the objects and the artifacts that we see, and then what we're supposed to believe, you know, how they were created. But in fact, when you examine it, you find that our archaeologists and historians and anthropologists don't really attempt to explain these things.
No, it's just like, okay, they're there, off to the next thing.
Exactly.
And I agree with you. I think it's a shame because some of the greatest mysteries of this planet are hidden in these past cultures and civilizations.
Absolutely. They're embedded. Our history and our true human identity is embedded in these mysteries. And, you know, until we penetrate them, we're going to keep having this feeling that things are missing.
In this particular case, with this incredible road structure, what possibilities did you and your friend kick around?
Well, he being an engineer thinks a little differently. He actually discovered the Mayan Bridge, and his work has been published in National Geographic. There was the longest expansion bridge in the ancient world. He discovered on a river in the very south end of Mexico.
How long?
But anyway, and he calls the Maya technolithic. He goes around Stone Age, calls them technolithic, and his points are, and what I, in my own research, when I went down there and I looked at objects and I looked at jade, knowing jade is harder than steel.
Sure.
How are you going to work these intricately carved objects with what tools?
You need something harder than jade, right?
Exactly. And where were these tools? Well, they're not to be found. So that's another mystery. So we're kind of piling up these mysteries. Now, why would the Maya bother to build 30-foot-wide roads and pave them when they didn't have the wheel and they didn't have any beasts of burden? They didn't have donkeys or horses or anything.
Well, and they didn't have any vehicles to put on the roads.
That's right. Well,
I mean, unless you're gonna make something like that for people to walk on, you don't need it 30 feet wide.
Absolutely not. You can have a trail. Why would you spend the vast amount of time and labor, all the planning, all the work it takes in a jungle environment that requires constant work because the jungle is encroaching all the time? There are no roads through that region now. You know, with the population pressures of modern Mexico, the area is still relatively unpopulated. The Maya remain a very deep mystery in human culture.
And really, where did they go, Will? I mean, I went to Cozumel in Cancun maybe about 9 years ago. And, you know, I toured some of the ruins and some of the sites. But some of the people that live in Cozumel are small people that you would think might be descendants of Mayans.
They are. They're descendants.
Okay, but by and large, where did they all go?
Well, it wasn't the Maya dispersed. That's an enigma as well. Why did the civilization that took such a tremendous amount of energy to build? They built thousands of pyramids. There's so many sites in that jungle region that haven't been discovered yet.
Because what? Forestry, you know, has just grown over it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they've just been reclaimed by the jungle. But you see these hills, what look like natural hills, but they're really pyramid sites that have been overtaken by the jungle.
I see.
But what we have to try to explain and to understand is why did this civilization that expended such a vast amount of energy to build a civilization in that type of environment where there are no rivers, there are no lakes, there's water, but, you know, there are only two civilizations that evolved, that developed in jungle environments, and the other one is in Asia.
Well, and the other question, of course, is I don't know what the population was, Will, or what you estimate them to be, but where are the bones?
Right. Well, a lot of that would have been reclaimed, but that's another point as well. It makes very little sense I guess from our logical point, our scientific point of view, why, what happened to this civilization? Why did they disappear? Well, there's a lot of theories, but they're theories. Famine, weather change, environmental changes, they used up the fertile land and so on and so on.
Would one theory, Will, be, as far-fetched as it may sound, that they simply got back into the craft that they came down in and went away?
That's possible. It's possible. But I think, and that requires an understanding that there was some kind of a profound division in the civilization between a brain trust and ordinary people. Because the ordinary people, like you were saying, the descendants of the population, you know, the mass population, still exist. They're all over Guatemala.
Yeah, they're there.
They're the Maya people who are living in the mountains and living simply and so on.
And they don't really see, you know, other than some messages, you know, we talk about the Mayan calendar and some other episodes like that. These people aren't carrying through stories and myths that we can really put our hands on. That's another mystery. You would think that the civilizations, if some of them were, you know, carried on, would carry on some kind of, you know, pattern of knowledge.
Yeah, I think that's especially true in terms of why the roads were built, why the pyramid sites, why there were so many built, what they represented or how they were used. Maybe they were not ceremonial centers. Maybe they could have been, you know, part of a technology system.
What do you really think was going on there?
I think it was a vast technology. But it was a technology that we can't understand because we look at technology in a different way. The machinery, we're not part of the machinery. But in their system, the human psyche was part of a whole system. Does that make sense?
Well, I guess what you're saying is that they probably had, and you correct me if I'm wrong, a high technology, but it was a simple technology, and it didn't necessarily revolve around the kind of machinery we understand today.
Right. Not at all. It was the human nervous system, the pyramid sites, the alignment of sites geographically in the Earth, in the Earth's energy field, as well as the human psyche, were integrated into a system. That's the best way I can put it.
Well, and whatever it was, Will, it was known in China, Egypt, Central America, South America. It was known throughout the entire planet.
Yeah, that was the ancient system.
And yet, it's gone now. And that's the baffling thing to me.
Well, it is baffling. That is a profound mystery. And that's, you know, I guess that's part of what compels me to keep doing research. And at times it gets exhausting because, as you pointed out, I mean, your first question, you know, is it difficult? Truth is, it's taken me decades to put a lot of the pieces together and still don't have them all. I mean, it seems like an endless process, really.
Well, are you any closer, though, to...
Oh, yeah, I think I understand a lot now.
Ah.
I'll give you an example.
Okay.
When I was in the Maya, I had an archaeological map, and I was checking off sites, and I'd been to all these sites, and I was in Progreso, which is in the Yucatan. And I was looking at my map, figuring out where I was going next, and I noticed, it just occurred to me that a number of sites, important sites, were on a straight line, north-south line. They were boom, 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 just positioned on this line.
Perfectly.
Right, perfectly. And I had no idea what that meant at the time. It was 1978. I followed that line up just on a hunch, and it intersected with the mouth of the Mississippi River. So at that time, I just had a feeling this is a key to this mystery. Of course, we know that the mound builders built along the Mississippi River. The Mississippi runs north-south, kind of winding through that 90th meridian.
Would this include the mounds, for example, that are in Cahokia, Illinois,
yes, exactly.
Which I've seen? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So we're talking about people or an intelligence that, you know, knew this, the Earth generated energy along certain meridians. Now, the 90th, like I say, there is no river down in the Maya realm, but here they position their sites on the same meridian that the mound builders, using the Mississippi River there.
Are these like ley lines?
Yeah, ley lines, but when I think of, like the Mississippi River, it's this vast channel of energy that's constantly flowing. I mean, it's real physical energy.
Oh, sure.
It works on another level, too, though. I think it works magnetically as well. And I think it's the magnetism that this early civilization was more keyed into. And in magnetism that we don't quite understand.
It's like Leed Skolnin at Coral Castle in Florida.
Exactly.
Same kind of thing. The
exactly.
Egyptians. Yep.
Exactly. So now I realized that then I didn't understand, and I didn't understand the Earth's energy field. But now what I looked at was I went, okay, the Mississippi River, New Orleans is right there. It's right on the 90th meridian and the 30th meridian. Now, if you go 120 degrees around the planet, you come to the Great Pyramid, to Giza, to the Nile. And the Nile and the Mississippi are inverted. They're inverted mirror images of each other.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
The Nile flows from the south, from Central Africa, north, mm-hmm. and empties into Mediterranean Sea at the 30th parallel. The Mississippi does the reverse. It flows from the north, south, and empties into the Gulf at the 30th parallel.
Huh.
That 30th parallel runs around the Tigris-Euphrates, also empties. And so we're looking at these points in which the early civilizations were constructed. Now, we're talking about this energy field that someone, some higher intelligence, because I can't imagine that Stone Age people perceived any of this.
Or exactly. I mean, there's no way they could have perceived it.
No, they couldn't have. Nor would they have any concept of harnessing and controlling these vast river systems.
With all the science we have today, our scientists can't conceive of it.
No, we can't. And it was a free energy system, like you were pointing out earlier. It didn't have all these moves. See, what we look for. And when I first went down, well, you know, you look at the pyramids and you go, okay, it's a monument or something, but it wasn't. We think of it in a passive way. But the system, when it was functioning, wasn't passive at all.
Do you think all these pyramids, planetary-wide, might have had some kind of connection with each other?
Yes, absolutely. That's why I was saying that they're connected to these river systems. And these, you know, that 120-degree, you know, this ties in with the hyperdimensional theory.
Richard C. Hoagland's going to like this one.
Yeah, because that's the 120-degree separation of the rivers and the emptying and the pyramids being positioned 120 degrees apart. And also at 19, going back to Mexico now, at 19.5 degrees, 19.5 is where Mexico City is positioned. It's where Teotihuacan and the Pyramid of the Sun.
Isn't that something?
It was positioned. It's where the string of volcanoes goes around, and like in a belt across Mexico.
This doesn't happen by chance.
No, it didn't happen by chance. It's part of this energy field that we're in. That this now, to me, it's a higher civilization that introduced people to this. But then, the question you raised, or the issue you raised, is what happened.
Exactly.
Why was there this break? We lost the connection there.
It's almost as if maybe they never taught these people, Will, how to do it. Maybe they just let them use it. And so whenever these entities, creatures, whatever they may be, decided to leave the planet, they took the knowledge with them. Is that possible?
That's quite possible.
All right, stay with us. We'll be back with more in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Will Hart is our guest. You sure are. The After Dark CD, it's called Perfect Possession, is available for you free when you subscribe to the After Dark newsletter or renew. Malachi Martin on exorcisms, interviewed by the master, Art Bell. Call 1-888-727-5505. Operators are there now. 1-888-727-5505. You can also go online, safe and secure. You'll see it right there on the coasttocoastam.com homepage. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, our guest, Will Hart. Will, I bet you wish you were alive during those days, thousands of years ago, huh?
I certainly wish I could, regress and time travel backwards and get a glimpse of what was going on to see, if my speculations are correct and if the evidence I've compiled is pointing to the truth. I would like that opportunity.
First of all, if you had just the one opportunity to go back into time in one region of this planet to witness these things you're investigating now, first of all, what area would you go back to?
Boy, that's tough.
I know it. Yeah. But you only get one.
Well, yeah, I guess it would have to be Egypt.
Okay. So you go back to Egypt. Now, I want you to hypothesize something for us for a moment. You go back, and some people would say you go back 5,000 so years. I think you should go back maybe 10 or 15,000. What do you think?
Yes.
Okay, so you go back to that period. Tell me what you think you're going to see.
You're going to see the Great Pyramid is... a precision engineered structure with a smooth, polished surface. Exactly how it was used, I'm not sure, but I am sure that it was part of a technology. I would say that it probably was used at least one capacity would be to discharge a bolt of energy.
What would the people be doing? How do you think they constructed all these things?
I doubt that human beings constructed that. It's just too sophisticated. It's beyond our comprehension now.
Gosh. So I don't. What a story, though, Will. If that's true, I've always believed that too. What an incredible story.
Well, that's the history of our planet, and that's what's amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's incredibly fascinating, and yet our conventional historians have just butchered it. That's unfortunate. I mean, this is not easy to get to the truth and to penetrate through these things it's a real gauntlet.
I think
people
so too.
Should know that.
Is there any possibility? Are you talking about maybe physical beings may have constructed this from other planets, or what about dimensional? What about time travelers, for example? Maybe they came back. I mean, is any of that possible?
It's possible. It is definitely possible. My own predilection is physical beings whose job it is to seed planets and to recreate, just to extend life. I mean, that's what life does. Life, we see it all over our planet. Life just tries to reproduce life and more life forms. But we also see that even though I have. Most astronomers now, astrobiologists, people who are really in the know, they don't think Earth is the only place where life is. It's a ridiculous assumption, really.
True. Some of them will admit they're not sure we've been visited, but they definitely believe there's life out there.
Well, it's politically incorrect. I mean, the ancient astronaut theory has been bashed.
Well, because they can't figure out how they got here. They're thinking of it in conventional terms, and they shouldn't be doing it that way.
Exactly. Why? All you're doing is just reflecting the limits of your own knowledge. It tells you nothing about, the knowledge of some other highly advanced culture that they wouldn't have to even be. That's something I've realized in just this past year, that it only takes a few thousand years beyond where we are now to become a highly advanced civilization, but you have to get over a major hurdle.
If just 200 years ago, Will, those people who are living on this planet, 200 years ago, the 1800s, if you were to tell them about what we're doing today with technology, they would have said, "Nah, what are you talking about? It can't be."
It would have just been bewildered.
Absolutely.
It wouldn't make any sense to them at all.
That's 200 years of technology.
Even 50 years ago, most people would not believe that we could genetically clone plants and animals together.
So let's add a million years to a civilization.
Oh, a million years is inconceivable.
Exactly.
It really only takes a few thousand past where we are because we start moving at an exponential rate. We already are now.
I saw a guy today on this. We were doing a taping for a TV show, and he's got. I'm learning computers pretty fast, but I'm not that savvy. And he had this little tiny device this thing was no bigger than 3 inches long, that he can stick into his computer, download everything, and go ahead and put it in into another computer. I mean, this is incredible stuff.
Right. And it's happening now, and it's accelerated. So we can see, formerly, I would have even a year ago said, well, the civilization would have to be probably a million years advanced. I don't think so. I think they would only have to be a few thousand, 10,000 years advanced. That gives, in the evolution of the cosmos, plenty of time for that to have happened.
That's a good point. Good point.
Plenty of time. You know, it doesn't. So, you know, when to me, when I'm looking at ancient civilizations, it's kind of like what you're. To me, it's almost a Doppler kind of past but future. You know, it's because somebody planted these seeds to pull us along. In my view, to pull us along. And yet we're stumbling over our own ideas about history. In other words, we've compressed the time, and we're throwing away, you know, the past evolution developments on other planets and all of these things, and we're chopping everything, you know, compressing it down to a few thousand years.
Do we need to look at Atlantis before we look at anything else on this planet?
Well, that's the focus of my present book, Atlantis Rises. And part of what I'm saying with that title is that let's not get caught up in this idea that we've got to find it at the bottom of the ocean. The pyramid civilization is the heritage of Atlantis, because we need a precursor civilization to Egypt, to the Maya, to China, and so on. Because if we don't have it, if we don't have a series of developments in a prior civilization, it doesn't make any sense.
That's
have pyramids
point.
Popping up all over, and instant civilizations who already have, you know, advanced, sophisticated art and everything. It makes no sense. I mean, that's why we get stuck in these mysteries.
Well, why do you think they just merely, after coming here, after jump-starting things, after building things, simply threw up their hands and said, let's leave? Why'd they go?
I think it's the only way to let a race develop and take their own course. It's just like parents and children.
You think it's their role?
Yeah.
And so they went off to another planet to maybe do the same thing?
I think it's their role. What would have been called, what the concept is in the Old Testament with the Elohim. Those are the builders. It's what the Jews understood, the ancient Jews understood to be the builders.
I wish they would have given us a little bit more information before they took off.
but they embedded it in the Great Pyramid and in these civilizations. They embedded it for us to piece together. Our problem is we've gotten caught in our own conditioning now.
Well, maybe they figured once we figure it out, then we'll be ready. So
that's absolutely right.
Yep. Until
or
then,
or we'd be destroyed if it would crush us. If we're not prepared to face that kind of reality of who we actually, you know, our own identity and the part we're playing in this universe, I think we'd just be destroyed.
You know, I used to think years ago, even as a teenager, I said, you know, there's got to be some kind of function for these pyramids. They're all over the planet. And, you know, they're just not being built because they're, you know, architecturally pretty. There's got to be some kind of a method to this madness. And, you know, your theory, I think, is as good as anything I've heard.
Well, the theory that I have is that, as I said, it's this, what we get caught up in is when we look at a television or radio, or it's external to us, and it's just this, you know, this thing that performs a function, telecommunications or whatever it is. The pyramids were the people, the role the priests played, as I see it, and the reason they did these alignments was they used cosmic energy, they used planetary energies, waves, the human consciousness, brain waves. It was all integrated together. That's hard to get a hold of, right?
Sure.
And we can't reproduce the our problem is we can't really reproduce it in any way that I can see, because it was a vast system. When you look at the planet and you look at the way they align things all over the planet, it was a vast system.
Now, that's a good point. There is an alignment then, as you have said, and this is so important that everybody understands this. These pyramids were not placed where they are just for fun.
No.
There's a reason why they were put where they are.
Absolutely.
What do you think it is?
Those are just their prime energy points. They're just like I was saying earlier, that the intersection of these bodies of water and these major rivers and these meridian points, like you brought up Ed Leetskillman, right?
Right.
Now he indicated if there was a modern connection to the past, it was him.
It's him. He's as close as they come.
Yeah, and he said he made two points. One was that he could not do what he did outside of a vortex. So he chose that area of Florida, and that was a vortex. Now I've identified the vortex he was in as the point of the Bermuda Triangle.
That's interesting.
It's the point. It's also Homestead. Think of this. And I wrote an article about this last year, where hurricane systems form out in the Atlantic, and they move across that 19.5 meridian, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they gather strength as they're circling around that, and then they either turn up, which Katrina did. It turned up, and it went right through Homestead.
Yep.
And it continued on, and then where did it turn up? It turned up on the 90th meridian. It turned north.
Well, that's weird.
And hit New Orleans.
That's a good point.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The Earth, it's a natural force field in the Earth, and that's what he was saying. He just identified this natural force field. Well, the Miami Circle does too. The ancients knew all of these things, and they knew how to use that energy in a way that it's evading us. We're probably close to it. We're right next to it, but we can't quite get it.
Yet there's no way that civilization, the unsophisticated civilization, could have figured that out on their own.
No, because all that we have, for example, in Egypt, all that we have in the pre-dynastic period is a very simple hunter-gatherers who were wandering up and down the Nile, collecting, hunting and collecting plants. And then all of a sudden, you've got massive pyramids popping up, according to the conventional chronology. Now, you and I would throw that away. The pyramids were built long before that era.
How old do you think they are, really?
At least 10,000, 15, maybe as much as 20,000 years.
The pyramids in Egypt?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the outer casings have worn away over time. They all had outer casings, and they've all worn away.
20,000 years.
That would take, that's just erosion. Without much, there hasn't been much rain there at all for the last 5,000 years.
Right. But there was a point, though, that it did rain a lot.
Prior to that,
at the Sphinx.
It did rain prior to that. So a lot of that erosion probably occurred then. And that's this whole debate on the Sphinx, the erosion in the Sphinx. Well, it occurred. That's why we know the Sphinx is at least 7,000, 8,000 years old. They wouldn't build that without have built the pyramids, too.
Do you, the other thing we got to talk about is Edgar Cayce talking about halls of records being in three locations, one in where Atlantis was,
right.
Another being in Central America, and then the other being at the base of the Sphinx. Yet no one has apparently found these.
Right. Well, they won't be found until the time is right.
Unless they did find them and they're
keeping them
a secret.
Yeah, that's possible too. Although I think that they'll get in the right hands at the right time. It's just not the right time. It's hard to force these things. If we can go back to a moment like with the Olmec civilization, that was the mother civilization in Mexico. Now, Eric von Däniken years ago kind of turned people's attention to the large African features, those 20-ton heads.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
with helmets.
Yeah.
But when I got down there, what they grabbed my attention, yes, but what really grabbed my attention was in the museums, the figurines, the carvings that you see, they're Asians, they're Semitic, they're Caucasian, they're no Indians. There are none of what we consider to be the native Mexican people are depicted in the earliest civilization in Mexico.
In their own country, right.
In their own country. So where were they? They were right on the Gulf Coast. They were right on the Gulf Coast. So if you're going to say, and it's interesting you brought Casey up because he did a number of readings on Atlantis, and his picture was that when Atlantis collapsed, people immigrated to that area in Mexico. They also immigrated up into the Mississippi and then formed the Mound Builder civilization, which makes perfect sense. That's logical.
And went off to Egypt, too.
And went to Egypt, too. Now, with the Olmecs, this ties back into what we were saying earlier. What happened that there was some kind of break, some kind of a destructive process? And we find it in the Olmec, in the artifacts. Those heads were actually found buried. They were buried face down. The sites were, a lot of the artifacts were mutilated. The sites were destroyed and burned. This also happened with Teotihuacan.
Who burned them?
That's exactly it. Who burned them? Why? Why did this civilization disappear? It's a major mystery. What was going on at that time that there were either competing or somebody, a higher civilization, decided that, you know, whatever was going on there had to be terminated, because it was. And those people left, and when Cortez arrived in the 16th century, there were only Indians. There weren't none of the other races.
All gone.
Now, I would say that the mixed race was the race from Atlantis.
I would think so, too. And the knowledge they must have possessed must have been so far advanced over anything else on this planet at the time.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the artifacts that's been found down there, and not a lot is known about it, they're mirrors. Highly polished, lapidary specialists have studied them. I mean, they're really mirrors. And there was, in the traditions of Mexico, there was something called the smoking mirror that had paranormal powers.
Now, what was that?
It was these obsidian mirrors. How they used them, whether they reflected sunlight, or just exactly what they did with them, we don't know. I think that that ties in. See, I think the roads, we think of these straight paved courses that connected the pyramid sites as roads. I don't think they were roads. I think because there's too many of them. They had them going in all directions, you know.
They were going everywhere and nowhere.
Yes, everywhere and nowhere, connecting sites. I think these were how they transmitted energy. And that's why they made them straight.
Interesting.
And they used these mirrors, and I'm still trying to reconstruct the whole, you know, the process, because you can't really do an experiment.
Well, when we come back, Will, tell us a little bit about what would they do with this energy. I think maybe they used it to travel, and not on this planet, but that's my take. We'll be back with you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.